Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend Program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Central Jersey, right at exit 120 of the Parkway. This week's program is a book review of Megan Basham's new book, Shepherds for Sale, How Evangelical Leaders Traded the Truth for a Leftist Agenda. Megan Basham is an investigative journalist. She has written for World Magazine, The Daily Wire, and other conservative sites. She is a Southern Baptist who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And in her latest book, she exposes the leftist people and positions that have infiltrated evangelicalism. And I highly recommend the book to every Christian because God's people need to know about Satan's current attacks and the theological drift happening in the American church. In the biblical book of the Revelation, the Apostle John begins by explaining to the church what's going on in the church of Ephesus, in the church of Smyrna, and Pergamum, and Thyatira, and Sardis, and Philadelphia, and Laodicea. There's explanation in detail that you have some there that tolerate the woman Jezebel, and some there who hold to the false doctrines of the Nicolaitans. So there's a precedent that God's people need to call out corruption in the church. Now, first, let's define evangelicalism, or evangelical. It's the Greek word for gospel, the good news, the Greek word evangelion, which means to proclaim good news. There have been numerous terms describing true Christians. Of course, there's the term Christian, but that term soon was adopted by those who are just nominal Christian. So to distinguish a more orthodox faith, there came terms like Reformed Christians and fundamental Christians and Bible believers and conservatives. And also this term evangelical, which means one who believes and proclaims the gospel. So today there are progressive Christians who are part of the liberal mainline denominations. And there are conservative Bible believing Christians and churches, which are often called evangelical. But of course, as time goes on, even that title has lost its meaning, as many religious people want to identify with the vitality and the life of evangelicalism, but not the doctrine. 24% of the American public claims to be evangelical, yet only a small fraction of that number can cite biblical doctrine. And many young people raised in evangelicalism, but never having experienced genuine conversion and go off to secular universities, picking up the tenets of humanism, then return to the evangelical world, to evangelical churches, and attempt to remake evangelicalism accordingly, according to their own ideas. They return with a moral crusade to fix what they believe is wrong in evangelicalism in order that evangelicalism can find favor with the world and come into line with their own thinking regarding pluralism, pro-LGBTQ, pro-Marxism, pro-abortion. And really, this is no surprise. This is exactly what we find in Scripture, that generational decline. Judges chapter 2, verse 10. All the generations also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. Christians must always be aware of this and realize no human title or institution under which the true church resides will continue for very long. The wolves will always enter, and new institutions must be create it. Acts chapter 20, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Remember that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. So Basham's book, Shepherds for Sale, reminds us of this. And it's also a reminder of the prophesied apostasy that will come upon the world before the return of Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, before the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, is revealed, the apostasy must come first. And I've always tried to emphasize that this word apostasy means rebellion. It refers to rebellion against God in the secular world, but it certainly will include apostasy in the professing church. And look how fast it has happened in recent years. Megan Basham points out in her book that in 1998, the Episcopal Church approved a resolution asserting that homosexuality was incompatible with Scripture. Yet 5 years later, in 2003, the Episcopal Church ordained its first homosexual bishop. And in 2012, approved of transgender ordination. And every other mainline denomination has done the same, what are known as the Seven Sisters of American Protestantism: the United Church of Christ, the Evangelical Lutheran Church, the United Methodist Church, the Presbyterian Church USA, the American Baptist Church, the Disciples of Christ, and the Episcopal Church. But is this not what is also happening quickly in society as a whole? The unsaved inside and outside the church have abandoned God's word for humanism and have become much more vocal and emboldened in a rebellion against the law of God. Now, those groups who have stayed true to the word are the newer 20th century denominations and seminaries, the independent Bible churches, the smaller denominations. But even those groups are gradually slipping off into apostasy. Luke chapter 18, verse 8, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Megan Basham's book, Shepherds for Sale, needs to be read as more than a tell-all book about corruption and evangelicalism. She's really addressing the very definition of the gospel itself. This is the age-old question of who is the Lord, Baal or Yahweh? 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. They had no discernment because they are far from God. So who is Jesus? The radical hippie of the leftist religion who accepts and loves everyone, or the holy judge of conservative Christianity? You know, as Paul would write to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians 11:4, "For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully." The toleration of error in the church. Last week, my program was about the political organization called Evangelicals for Kamala Harris. And that was one of the more significant programs I've done in a long time, because this is the real issue in our day. What is the true faith? You know, all of this theological apostasy or fidelity lies buried in the back of people's minds until choices are made in the physical world. It's all metaphysical, unseen spiritual allegiances until one is in the crowd and having to choose between Barabbas and Jesus. Or if you're living in 1000 BC, having to choose whether to support the house of David to administer Israel or the house of Saul. One must discern who is truly called of God and who's on God's side. In our choices, we choose which gospel we love. There was apostasy in the Galatian church, so Paul would write to the church, Galatians 1:6, "I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." Is this a concern? Absolutely. Paul goes on to write that those who are getting the gospel wrong, Those who are distorting the gospel are to be accursed. Galatians 1:8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. It's been well said that the leftism that has entered into the evangelical church is really a gospel problem, a denial of the gospel. Megan Basham begins her book with a quote from C.S. Lewis about those who shy away from fighting theological debates. Quote, "The type of religion that shrinks from controversial matters will never stand amidst the shocks of life. The really important things are the things about which men will fight." Now, Megan Basham, in her introduction, deals with the question, who are these leftist evangelicals? Are they simply deceived Christians who have fallen into the trap of thinking evangelism means wanting to be liked and received by the world by going along with what the world considers the issues to fight? Or are these left-leaning evangelicals simply unsaved wolves in sheep's clothing? Quote, "Perhaps some are simply weary of being the bad guy and are eager to sign on to something or anything that will draw the culture's approval. They may not reject clear biblical mandates and morality, but they instead emphasize those things our society doesn't find offensive and in fact rewards. Why join Elijah and get the reputation of being a troubler of Israel?" So in this, she's talking about pastors, evangelical leaders jumping on board the anti-racism, anti-global warming, pro-illegal immigration bandwagon, because that's what the popular intellectuals preach. Basham writes about the staff of Christianity Today, quote, "Often they look to mainstream secular publications for the social cues to determine what topics they should be discussing and the polite boundaries for discussing them. The staff is driven by a deep desire for the approval of the secular elites." Megan even quotes a leftist evangelical, Mark Galley, quote, "Elite evangelicalism, represented by Christianity Today, InterVarsity Press, World Vision, Fuller Seminary, and a host of other establishment organizations, is too often a form of cultural accommodation dressed up as convictional religion. These evangelicals want to appear respectable to the elite of American culture." Larry Taughton, a conservative evangelical, calls these leftist evangelicals champagne ministry. They want to live large and be invited to the secular parties. Quote, "I got the sense that the leftists at the Trinity Forum didn't want too much Jesus, too much Bible. They wanted somebody whose faith had a respectability with the world, a Christian that the world would love. Ideologically, we were not the same. I thought we were, but I discovered we were not." Unquote. I think it's telling that in Galatians chapter 1, in the text that Paul writes about the Galatians going after a false gospel, he also writes in Galatians 1:10, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." So at the core of the error of going after a different gospel, of distorting the true gospel, is a desire to please men, not God, where the authority or the judge of right and wrong becomes what people desire rather than the law of nature and nature's God. And this is a sign of being unsaved, unconverted, devoid of the Holy Spirit. Because as we read in 1 John chapter 2, if anyone loves the world, he does not have the love of the Father in him. And the Apostle John is black and white about these matters. Now, I've seen Christians argue over whether some professing minister who has gone astray is or is not a Christian, whether he will or whether he will not be in heaven someday. But that's not the point. Don't fall into that trap. The point is that, of course, we don't know for sure, but biblically, we are told to treat such as if they are unsaved. We don't know the condition of their soul, but we do treat them as if they're unsaved. Matthew chapter 18, "Let him be unto you as a tax gatherer and a sinner." You don't have to judge the current condition of their soul, but if they're denying the essentials of the gospel, we're to treat them as unsaved. Now, by the way, as I mentioned last week, records show that between 2015 and 2022, the Christianity Today staff and the board members made 74 political donations. Every single one went to a Democrat, not a single one to a Republican. And that revelation in Megan's book, which she broke in a news story last year in the Daily Wire, tells us everything we need to know about these leftist evangelicals. You don't send money to pro-abortion and pro-LGBT candidates unless you thoroughly believe in their platform. This is no mistake. They are supporting these positions. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God continues in sin because his seed abides in him. That's the Holy Spirit. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. And verse 15, you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Megan writes this, there is a reason that the book of Judges urges all Christians to contend for the faith and be on the lookout for those who secretly slip in among us, dividing us by distorting the clear teachings of the word for their own ends. Some are, yes, wolves. Unfaithful pastors and teachers deliberately leading the sheep astray. I believe that you'll have little trouble pinpointing in these pages who they are, but there are different degrees of error. Passivity, fear of reprisal, plain old lack of discernment are also reasons why pastors may compromise with the culture. For those who are not outright wolves, forthright brotherly confrontation, such as when Paul opposed Peter, may bring about sincere repentance. Unquote. Now, one of the main points in Megan's book, Shepherds for Sale, is that secular leftists have been making donations to evangelical leaders, evangelical denominations, evangelical media, to get them to promote leftist ideas, LGBTQ acceptance, abortion, global warming. And the whole book is page after page of examples. George Soros and his Open Society Foundation, as a strategy to push leftist ideology, began investing in faith-based advocacy, awarding fellowships to faith-based thinkers, and giving grants to Christian media. The leftist founder of eBay made several $50,000 large grants to the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. The stated purpose was to help combat America's alleged white supremacy problem. It's probably no coincidence that a campaign started in the Southern Baptist Convention for Southern Baptists to flagellate themselves over their white privilege and implicit racism. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook also donated to the SBC's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. The National Association of Evangelicals accepted money from a pro-abortion foundation that also funds Planned Parenthood as part of a program to promote contraceptions to teens. The magazine Christianity Today began receiving donations from the leftist Eli Lilly Endowment, and Christianity Today partnered with the Religious News Service, which receives grants from the leftist pro-LGBTQ organization Arcus. And the stated purpose for funding the Religious News Service was to recruit and equip LGBTQ supportive leaders and advocates to counter rejection and antagonism within traditional conservative churches. Oz Guinness started the Trinity Forum, an evangelical think tank. Again, the founder of eBay, his Democracy Fund began funding Trinity, the Trinity Forum, pushing Trinity Forum to embrace pluralism. The Rockefeller Foundation also donated for the same purpose. Oz Guinness has since disassociated himself from Trinity Forum. So here's a question. Is the apostasy in evangelicalism the fault of leftist billionaires like George Soros? Which came first, the apostasy within evangelicalism or the donations to abandon biblical mandates? Now, in her book, Basham is not claiming that all of this apostasy is the fault of evangelicals loving money. The unbelief and apostasy is already in the heart of these leftist evangelicals, but what these secular ideologues and these donations do is to fund these wolves in evangelicalism to spread this deception among rank and file true Christians in the church. You know, without donations to magazines like Christianity Today, Christianity Today would be long gone. The wolves would have no salaries. You know, it's a lot like Satan himself. Judas already denied Jesus in his heart, but Satan came along and gave him 30 pieces of silver to empower further his unbelief. Now, although Satan means this all for evil, let's remember God means it for good. God can turn it into good for his people because it brings to the surface the apostasy that's already there. When we sin or fall into some temptation, don't blame the temptation. A lack of fidelity to God was already in our heart. We just need a little push to bring it to the surface. Megan writes this. Are they dupes or deceivers? Is it organic or orchestrated? Certainly money is playing a role in some of these evolutions. There's no doubt, as we'll see, that once trusted evangelical leaders and institutions have yoked themselves to leftist billionaires and their pet projects. But it needs not always be explicitly transactional. Institutional prestige, seeing oneself lauded by CNN and the Washington Post as more intellectual and more morally advanced than the rest of the evangelical rabble, can also be a potent elixir. So can gilded invitations to the most exclusive parties in the world. It doesn't take financial incentives or favors to shift the nature of an organization if the worldview of the staff has already shifted. Now back to her book. She has a separate chapter covering how leftist organizations are funding specific issues in evangelical apostasy. And Megan begins each chapter by making it personal, sharing the stories of Christians who are sitting in their churches and all of a sudden hearing the pastor chide the congregation for their white privilege. All of a sudden setting up special Bible studies for members to address their implicit racism that they don't know they have. Where's all this coming from? And where are these pastors getting this curriculum and these ideas? One Christian saw her pastor celebrate the Christmas Advent season by focusing on climate change, saying from the pulpit that if Mary and Joseph were alive today, they would be the ones most impacted by climate change. And as one Christian said, in order to detect the subtle shift away from the true gospel, you have to listen to the buzzwords and know how to interpret them. In the introduction, Megan writes, "My ultimate purpose is to confirm for average evangelicals in the pews that the uneasy feeling many of you have been having, perhaps for some years now, that your pulpits and your institutions are being co-opted by political force with explicitly secular progressive aims, are justified. That is indeed happening." Unquote. And I would add to that, you're not crazy. Many evangelical churches are abandoning the gospel and going apostate. So the book is Shepherds for Sale by Megan Basham. Sure, it's not the Bible, but as the prophets of old, the job of the Christian is to bring the word of God to bear on the current signs of the time. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Thanks for listening. Stand firm in the word. And may Jesus Christ reign.